open the eyes of our hearts. We really don't want to see anything else. We don't want to gaze around and look at other things, other people, other situations, all of the things that cause clutter in our hearts and our minds. But Father, as we come here this morning, we want to see you. We would ask you to reveal yourself. Reveal Jesus as the Lord of the church. Reveal the Holy Spirit living and moving in the believers, Lord. The preciousness of that gift. The preciousness of the gift of your word. God, we just ask you today just to accomplish your own purposes as we literally set ourselves aside. As we get ourselves out of the way. Father, if we need to deal with things with other people, we do pray. Those things do clutter. We pray that you will lead us into forgiving in the same manner in which we have been forgiven. Lord, that is just profound. That is awesome. That is life-changing in and of itself. But it is also a response to understanding the depth of the forgiveness of God. The depth of the relationship that you desire with us, each and every one. Father, we pray this morning, just open the eyes of our hearts. Just to see you, just to hear from you, just to be encouraged and uplifted by you. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. In singing that song, part of the clutter, I guess, can be the little g gods that we allow into our lives. Our Lord wants to be the Lord of all, everything that is about us. And that includes everything, literally everything. It includes our spouses, that includes our children, that includes our work, that includes our play, that just is our relationships, everything. Because when one of those takes over, it becomes the little g god in our life. And if we're honest with ourselves, we all wrestle with the little g gods. We just do. We mix up our priorities. And instead of placing God, as I've been speaking, that whole idea of God as the center of our attention, it's so easy for the other things to creep in and begin taking control, begin taking focus, even begin to cause hard feelings amongst us, amongst people, at work, wherever we are. The little gods will take control. But the living God tells us that He wants to be the one who guides our lives. He wants to be the one who speaks life, who brings life. We have to let go of the little g's and allow the big g to take over. Yeah, sometimes we have to get down on our knees. Sometimes we literally have to humble ourselves. Well, isn't that something? We're always supposed to do that, aren't we? To be humble in our hearts toward God. Biblical humility talks about the place we give God. God first. Not God second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, tenth, 20th, 100th. God first. That's biblical humility. That's the humility that Jesus demonstrated. God the Father was literally the priority in His earthly life as He lived it out. And that's to be our priority too as Christians, as the ones who follow Christ as Lord. Well, this morning I really, really, really want to focus on a really, really, really encouraging message. I want us to understand exactly the many, many things, and I can't even list them all, the many things that God has done God is doing. In the scriptures, in James chapter 1, verse 17, I've just pulled out this verse just for a particular purpose. It says here that James writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is saying, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. That's an encouraging word from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And we, as Christians, we need to know, we need to understand about God's goodness, about His grace, about His mercy, about His provisions. To understand all that He gives those who place their trust and their confidence in Him through Christ as Lord and Savior. Walking in obedience to Christ. God, I have a wheelbarrow. In fact, I've got a few wheelbarrows. And, just the imagery in my head is that of God has this great big wheelbarrow. And He fills it full. And then He goes up and He tips it up and He dumps it out on us. Upon us. His blessings. That is filled with blessings. That is filled with life enrichments. That is filled with just awesome things from God. And He takes it and He just tips it up and He pours it out. His followers are the receivers, are the beneficiaries. Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Did you know that you're royal? Did you know that you are part of God's priesthood? Scripture tells us that. It just does. A holy people. A people belonging to God. That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Oh, wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Wow. You've literally taken my life from that realm of darkness and brought me into the light in Christ Jesus. Walking in the light. Oh! God gives believers many, many blessings. Many, many benefits. Benefits. Salvation is the first benefit that a believer will receive. Salvation in Christ Jesus. And we know that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We are told that in Scripture in multiple places. That, for those taking notes, is Romans 10:13. But it's only one of many, many scriptures that point that idea of calling out to God. Calling out to God. God, I need your help. God, save me. It reminds me of Peter getting out of the boat. You remember that? You know, he saw Jesus. At first they were scared. They didn't know what was happening. You know, and Jesus was walking on the water, coming through the storm. And just Peter in his impulsiveness said, Jesus, I want to get out of the boat. I want to come to you, Jesus. And Jesus said, well, come on. Well, Peter gets going, then all of a sudden, the little G's started taking control. He started noticing the weather. He started noticing the waves. He started noticing what he was doing, and he started to sink. He started to go under. And his first response was, Lord, save me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, I need you. Jesus reached out, lifted him up. Oh, That's what God does in salvation. We have to get beyond ourselves, and at that point, when we understand what God has done through, well, we may not totally understand. At the point of salvation, most people don't totally understand what God has done. All they know is that God has put that weight in their hearts that they're a sinner and that they have fallen short of the glory of God and their need is of God and nothing else. And they cry out to God, God, save me. I repent. I lay my sin before you. And the door of salvation comes open. And we've all, if we are a believer, we've been there. And that is so much to be thankful for because it is not based on what I can do. It is based solely on the merits of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for my sins, the blood of Christ being shed for the cleansing from my sin. That is salvation. That is the biblical picture of salvation. It's not about doing church. Never will be, never has been. You know, God's word is literally the story of salvation. I've said that many times. The salvation of humanity. From the beginning to the end. From Genesis, from creation, to the judgment of Revelation. It is the story of salvation of humanity. And it is not static. It doesn't stop at that point when we receive Christ as our Lord and our Savior. So many people think that. It's just unbelievable. You know, but salvation is ongoing. We are to look forward as Christians to our salvation in Christ Jesus in the coming of the end. We are to sit with anticipation of what God is doing, where God is leading. And there are so many verses that talk toward the future of salvation. That it's not just past, but it's present, and it is also future. It is being worked out. And salvation comes when we go to be with Jesus. That's the ultimate. He brings that. We do not. We do not. And it's faith-based. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not by works, so that no man can boast. It's not what we can do or should do or do. It's what God has done in Jesus Christ. So he gives us this beautiful, beautiful gift of salvation. That's one of the benefits. That's one of the perks. That's one of the blessings of God. That's part of his pouring out. And in that salvation is forgiveness. Again, past, present, future. Ongoing forgiveness in Christ. As we humble ourselves and we say, oh, Lord, I shouldn't have done it. Have you ever said that? I hope so. I hope so. If you haven't said that, then you've got a problem. The problem would be we're too full of ourselves. The little G has taken over. One of the little G's has taken over. We need to be, repentance always has to come into the picture. God, I'm sorry. God, I shouldn't have. God, please forgive me. I need your forgiveness. It's recognition. It's acknowledging. It's saying, just like we would, if I offended you, Clarissa, I'm responsible to do something about that. I just am. I'm responsible to come to Clarissa and say, Clarissa, I'm sorry for what I did, whatever that was. I really hate that statement. Sorry. I hate that statement with a passion. Because it accepts no responsibility for anything. And that's what God asks us to do, even as believers, is take responsibility. The gift is forgiveness. How many believe that he just wants to forgive us? Do you believe that? I sure hope so. I hope that you really believe that forgiveness is ongoing and God just wants to keep pouring that out. He does. He does. It's redemption. It's being redeemed. It's being reclaimed. It's being made new. New as we were originally meant to be. Redeemed in the blood of the Lamb, we sing. Redeemed. Wow. Given worth. Given value. From God's perspective. That's a benefit. That's a blessing. That's a gift that God gives to us. Peace. Peace, present peace. We all struggle. We all go through things which is, oh, God, this is hard. God, help me. Lord, Jesus said something really important. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. John 16:33. Peace, Jesus said, I leave with you when he's talking to his disciples. He says, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. The world cannot give that sense of peace. How many have been in a situation where you've experienced the peace of God even though it seemed like it was irrational? It just didn't make sense. But all of a sudden, oh, God, oh, God, you are in control. The big G, God, is in control. But the little G's want to take that over. They want to steal that away. Satan wants to steal that away so that we miss the benefit, so we miss the blessing that our Lord wants to give to us. How many have comfort that Jesus, you know that Jesus is presently interceding on your behalf? Woo-hoo! You mean Jesus, you're interceding? Jesus, you're speaking on my behalf before the Heavenly Father? Oh, Jesus, that's exciting! That's a blessing. That's a benefit that God gives to those who follow Christ as Lord. Jesus intercedes. In Romans 8:34, the Spirit says, who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. That's encouraging to know that our Lord and Savior is interceding, is interjecting himself into the things that we're dealing with, into life that we're dealing with. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. To intercede for them. Jesus, a blessing, a gift. He intercedes. Even if we're in the midst of temptation. Again, we can call out to God and he's there. We can call out and say, God, help me. When we know, I mean, just sometimes we're oblivious and we're not paying attention and we get sucked in to temptation. But if we kind of have an inkling, we can cry out to God and he reveals himself and Jesus is there with the Father interceding on our behalf. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Another blessing that we have is we have authority in Christ. Now, this is not authority in self. We put a lot of stock in self being in control of things. Self being highlighted. We are told in Scripture that we have authority in Christ. Now, that's not based on the me, myself and I. That is solely based on Jesus Christ, who I am told lives in me as a believer, as a follower of Jesus. I have authority in Christ. The walk with Jesus is all about being in Christ. Now, we can be in self, or we can be in something else, or we can walk in Christ. It's when we're walking in Christ, we experience the fullness of God. And part of that fullness is authority. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Matthew 28, verse 18. So Jesus has that authority. He's been given that authority. Jesus is indwelling within the heart of the believer through the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians 5, 10, and 11, we read, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Now, you connect the two. Being strong in the Lord, but it's not focused on self. It is focusing on His mighty power, the blood of Jesus. It's not about the I, the me. It's on Jesus. And then we're told to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. In regard to the authority in Christ, I can regale you with accounts, with stories of things that are impossible, that I've seen, that I've experienced, that God has done. Some of them direct conflict with the powers and principalities of darkness. There's a real sense where the blood of Jesus Christ, the authority and the blood of Christ comes into play in our lives when we are standing against evil. And we are told that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness in this world. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. It's not about our authority. It's about standing in Christ, standing in Jesus, and the authority of Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ. That's the blessing God allows us to stand in. Oh, the benefit. We don't need to be susceptible, but we can literally stand and stand firm. As Paul said in Galatians 5, because the authority is there, it's already pre-existing in Jesus. We also, in Jesus, in Christ, we have, God gives us the power to overcome. Now again, there's no simple quote here. I would suggest you read Romans 5 through 8. The power to overcome. The power to overcome is in Jesus. It's not in me. It's not in you. But it's a blessing and a benefit that God has built into our walk in Christ. The power to overcome. And now Paul and the Holy Spirit talks about that as the power to overcome the world. Power, and I talked about this for the last couple of weeks, so I'm not going to highlight it a lot. The power to overcome the world, the power to overcome Satan, the power to overcome sin. It's already there. It's existing in Christ. So when we walk in Christ, we will be overcomers. Overcomers. Just as Jesus was challenging those seven churches that he wrote to in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, he challenged them to overcome. They had a part, they had a role, they had obedience to follow in Christ. Power to overcome is there, its pre-existence is there. Another blessing from God is just when we come into salvation, it's the idea of eternal dwelling place with Jesus. We call it heaven. That eternal dwelling place. Jesus spoke of it. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's talking about heaven. And then in Revelation, I mean, it talks a lot about heaven. It gives us a picture of heaven. It gives us a picture of eternity. It gives us a picture of that eternal dwelling. It gives us a picture of the new Jerusalem coming down out of the heavens for the faithful in Christ to dwell. Wow. Wow. That's what we look forward to. That's what it is about. It's not about us. It's about a deliverance from the wrath of God. It's about a deliverance from judgment. The deliverance from the wrath of God. Why? People get afraid as soon as you mention the wrath of God. They're afraid because, well, they've heard the rumors. They've heard the rumors that those who don't follow Jesus, they're going to be subject to God's wrath for doing their own thing in their own way, in their own time, according to their own purposes, according to their own plan, for refusing to listen to God, for refusing to follow God. The scripture plainly says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son of God will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. That's the whole intent and the plan and the purpose of salvation. God has provided a way in Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, the blessing, the power of God, speaking through the Son of God, bringing the deliverance from God's wrath and judgment. Yes. God has given us eternal life. Life in Christ. Eternal life. In 1 John 5, it says in verse 11 and 12, it says, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You see, people make up their own minds who they're going to follow, what they're going to follow, whether those little g's are going to take over or whether God is going to be the centerpiece of their life. We all make those choices. Everybody does. Who is in control? When self is in control, things go south pretty quick. And we might even want to live in a place of ignoring the consequences. The whole world is busy at that, totally ignoring the consequences. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There is no truth. The truth is what I think it is or what I want it to be. No, truth is what God says it is. The little g's will always substitute in, trying to take over. Satan always lies, manipulates, coerces, twists, turns. He does all of those things. Why? Because he wants to steal life away from people. It's very clear in the scriptures. God, part of his blessing is the continual outpouring of his grace. You see, grace, God's grace wasn't just employed for salvation. Yes, it's intimate that it was by God's grace we are saved, and we are told that. I mean, without grace, it wouldn't happen. But God continually, consistently pours his grace into our lives. There's the grace of prayer. There's the grace of forgiveness. When I understand how much I've been forgiven, then I want to forgive. The spirit of grace teaches graceful living. It's part of the benefits that God gives to us. That pouring out of grace and even the recognition in the midst of our own weakness. God said to Paul, when Paul was sitting there going, woe be gone me, oh, I've got all this suffering, I've got all of this stuff, I've got this pain. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul learned to celebrate his own weakness because he knew his weakness was a demonstration of the grace and the mercy and the love of God. God was pouring out God is always pouring out His grace upon our lives as Christians, as part of the benefits of following Jesus, part of the benefit of salvation in Christ. Another benefit is the promise of companionship. Companionship. I mean, companionship is so important to us. We like our friends. We meet a person and we marry them. We have children. I mean, human beings are built for companionship. We just are. The original companionship in the garden was severed, was broken with the Creator, with God. It was messed with. The little G's came in and took over. And God was placed in a subverted position through lies, through manipulation. The promise of companionship. The Scripture says about God, about Jesus, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's an assurance to the believer. That's a blessing. Jesus said, you know, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. What he's meaning, the end of it all. The end, revelation time. Jesus says, I will be with you. You're not alone ever. Jesus said, remain in me and I will remain in you. The only person who can step out is us. We can step out of the relationship. We can step out of the companionship. Does God want us back? Absolutely. When we step out, and a number of Christians do, God always wants His sheep to come back. God always wants His children. Jesus, again, told the parable of the prodigal son. God's heart yearned for that son who had gone off submitting himself to the little G's of life, doing his own thing in his own way. But the Father welcomed him back. That's a powerful story. We can wander, we can stray, but God's companionship is always there waiting for us. Always. Always. And as part of that picture, the Holy Spirit, another blessing, another benefit, is the Holy Spirit is given to indwell, to dwell within the person, the believer. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. How long is forever? Forever. We don't know. Eternal. We don't know where the end of that is. We cannot understand that. Jesus gave the Holy Spirit as the helper, as the guide, as the counselor, you know, as the informer, as to truth and the convictor and all of those things. We are not alone ever, ever. I really want us to grasp the depth of what God has done. To foster our own sense of thankfulness. To foster our sense of, God, you are so great. You are so big. You are so mighty. Lord, you have done so much. You have poured out so much for me, you and I. I mean, and this isn't even all of what God's blessing is. These are just snippets. Even preparing this, I felt so enriched. I felt so thankful. God, you are so good. You want to give me all of this and for no charge. Woo! Yeah. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you the ways that you pour out blessing, your anointing, into our lives for the things that you are doing. Lord, for all that you are accomplishing in us, through us, around us, Lord, and for what you are doing in the Clearview congregation this morning, we return thanks because of your goodness, because of your grace, because of your mercy. Lord, give us such a thankful heart for all that you are doing and all that you will do, we pray. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen.